This morning, I wanted to finish up what we had started 2 weeks ago, and we were talking in the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We were talking about the gift of tongues, and then mostly we spent most of our time talking about praying in tongues, your prayer language, and how those two are separate. But we looked at what the prayer language does, and I would ask this before I go on. If you were not here 2 weeks ago with us, or you did not go online and listen to that message, please do so. It is just a simple line-by-line teaching on praying in tongues and what it benefits us and how it works in our life. And I'll do just a little bit of review on it. If you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want to be real clear that praying in tongues is not a gift of the Spirit, as mentioned in chapter 12. And that's why we spent so much time on it last week, is because they get confused. Speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, we'll just lump them together as one thing, but they're really two separate things. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, if we'll just read quickly through verses 4 through 11, it says, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and in everything. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person." So that's everyone. No one left out. At least if Jesus is your Lord. "To produce what is beneficial to all." So a gift of the Spirit is something that will work through you to benefit the others. Not saying it won't benefit you, because sometimes the gift of the Spirit will move that way too, but it will benefit others. God moving through you to benefit all, it says. In verse 8, to one is given, there's nine gifts it lists. One is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith or special faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Now verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each one as He wills." Now, if you'll go with me to chapter 14, and we'll read verse 2 through 4, this is the prayer language now. This is different from what he just mentioned about speaking in tongues and an interpretation. Here in the prayer language in verse 2, it says, "For the person who speaks in another tongue is not speaking to men." So this is not to men. It says, "but to God, since no one understands him." So no person alive is going to understand it when it's to God. "However, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit." It's mysteries in the Spirit. "But the person who prophesies speaks to people." See, the other one was to God. "The person who prophesies is speaking to the people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up. But he who prophesies builds up the church." And in Jude verse 20, I'll read to you the verse. And it says, "But you, dear friends, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." And then it goes on and says, "keeping yourselves in the love of God, expecting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life." That's what that'll do for you. So praying in the Holy Spirit. He says, build yourself up. Not talking about the gift of tongues. He's now talking about when you're speaking to God, mysteries that no man understands except for God. Praying. He says, this builds yourself up. Why do I be so bold as to say that every time in Scripture, in Ephesians 6, after all the armor is listed, where he says the armor of God, and he goes through and he says, and then take the sword of the Spirit and pray the Word of God, pray at all times in the Spirit is the language there. Every time you come across that praying in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in tongues, praying in your prayer language. Why can I be so bold in that? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14 where we were at and look in verse 14. 14:14. It says, "For if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prays." So that's how we know that every time he says pray in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in tongues. Pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. Now, let me also say this. If you'll look up in verse 2, it says he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. Mysteries in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is a spiritual activity. Is a spiritual activity. There's a spirit realm and there's a fleshly realm. All right? You're watching me stand here in the fleshly realm. In the spirit realm, when you're praying in tongues, is where that activity is, where something is happening in that spirit realm. And we know that the spirit realm can and will affect the natural realm. Let me say it a different way. Here is why that you will hear in Word of Faith circles, in Pentecostal charismatic circles, why you hear phrases like, yes, I have been baptized by the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There's a lot of emphasis put on speaking in or praying in other tongues. I'll call it praying in other tongues. Because when I'm going to say speaking in other tongues, I'm going to refer to speaking to you, the people, in another tongue. But praying in other tongues, why is there so much emphasis put on that? Really, it's because I look at it, I'll explain it this way. Praying in other tongues, have you ever heard of a gateway drug? It's a drug that opens up a gateway to other drugs. And it'll lead you from this one to others. And now you get in, you know, you might go from cocaine to heroin and meth and worse and worse things. And one just opens up the door because they want to get a bigger high and a longer one and more intense and all these things. So there's a drug that they consider it to be a gateway drug. In other words, it opens up the gate to other things. Well, that's very much how praying in tongues is without the negative side effects. All right? It's a gateway thing. It opens up the gate to a bunch of other things. What do I mean by that? The more time you spend praying in tongues, the Word says that it builds yourself up. It builds what up? My muscles? No. That, you know, some people, they look like Hercules, you know, because they pray in tongues so much. Obviously, and maybe they're physically not in shape even, but they pray in tongues. It's talking about the inner man, your spirit man. It builds you up on the inside. We're going to be spirit-led. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you remember the example of being flesh-led or spirit-led. And if you'll feed the spirit and build up the spirit, you'll be led from that place. So why is it important? How is praying in tongues a gateway thing? Because the more sensitive you become to the Spirit of God, the more in tune you become with Him, the more built up you become, the more all these other now actual gifts of the Spirit will start to play out in your life and through you. The more sensitive and built up you are to the Spirit of God, the more likely you are to be out at your place of work or in Walmart or the mall or anywhere else, and suddenly inside of you there's that quickening and that leading that I should go pray for this person. You know, if you'll just go over and lay your hands on that person, they'll be healed. And maybe you follow it or maybe you don't because you're afraid. But this is how praying in tongues works. It really is a gateway to the gifts of the Spirit playing out and coming, moving through you. Praying in tongues, building yourself up, is not something that we do like it's from our own strength. It's you praying mysteries in the Spirit. And it's something God does inside of you. So if you do not pray in tongues, I urge you to begin. If you say, well, I don't want people to hear me. Well, then go somewhere where there's no one listening. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, let's look at and finish what we had started last 2 weeks ago about the gift of tongues now. If you'll look up in verse 6 of chapter 14, he begins to speak about the gift of tongues. Now, he just said, you know, that in verse 2 that he's speaking to God, he's speaking mysteries, it's not to men. But in verse 6, he changes and he says, but now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in other tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you with a revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching, or in other words, it's interpreted. Paul says that if you speak to the people, it needs to be interpreted. In verse 13, he says, therefore, the person who speaks in another tongue should pray that he can interpret. So if Larry gets up and speaks in another tongue, as most of us here have seen him do, then he ought to be praying, Lord, give me that interpretation. And you guys should all be praying the same way, Lord, give me the interpretation. Well, I don't want to be selfish, Pastor. Well, actually, if you look up in verse 1, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. If you look back in chapter 12, the interpretation of tongues is a spiritual gift. So we ought to earnestly desire that gift. We ought to earnestly desire giving a tongue. That we wake up Sunday morning and we say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Father, move through me today. Allow me to speak in tongues or interpret or give a prophecy this morning. Or, you know, any of those nine gifts. But to desire them. To set our minds upon God being glorified by our willingness to serve Him and allow Him to move through us this way. So when a tongue is given, a person can interpret it themselves or someone else can get the interpretation and speak it out. The first time I witnessed it happen, I got the first line of the tongue that was given, and this was before I was a pastor, and I'm sitting there in the chair. And it was the very first time I'd ever heard someone give tongues, and I get the first line of what they've said, but I don't get any more than that. And I thought, well, if I'd get the rest, I'd get up and give it out, but I'm just a guest here, and I just know that's what he said, first line, but why didn't I get the rest? See, I was too ignorant to know yet that if I'll just open up my mouth and speak out what I know, God will give me the rest. And the way it was confirmed to me, finally somebody in the back, it was Prophet Bob Hawk had the meeting, and it was someone in the back. It was a lady. He said, but you back there, you have the interpretation, don't you? And so she proceeds to give it out, I mean, word for word, on the first line that I had. I mean, just exactly what I had. And I was like, yeah, see, I knew it. I knew I had that. And so ask the Lord for these things. That's what I had been doing. I had been asking the Lord, Lord, I want to see this. If this is something you've given to us, then by all means, I want to be a part of it. I want to experience it. I want to have you move through me and bless others, be beneficial to all in that way. Then we have to be willing to step up and do it. Amen. All right, where are we going? Verse 26 of chapter 14. So here he's now giving instructions on how a tongue in a meeting should work. How is it then, brother? So he asks the question, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue, or an interpretation. And he's saying, here's how it is. How is it that when you come together, everyone has one? But he's giving correction to them because apparently they were having pandemonium. I don't know. Everyone was giving out their thing. There wasn't order to it. Things were given, weren't interpreted, or people maybe gave prophecies. People didn't listen to it. Someone had a prophecy and never was able to share it because nobody was listening, and on. So he doesn't say, man, guys, you should know better than having these things like this. He gives them correction. Here's how you use it. He says, all things must be done for edification. So let's say all the gifts will glorify Jesus. So it's never going to bring glory here. Verse 27, if any person speaks in another tongue, not talking about praying in tongues, you're talking about speaking in tongues, there should be only two, or at the most three, each in turn, and someone must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, that person should keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. So if you feel like the Lord gives you a tongue and that you need to speak it out, and then get up, speak it out, and then we wait, and if the Lord gives you the interpretation, you give it. If the Lord gives it to someone else, be bold, say, hey, I got the interpretation for that. Speak it out. But if there is no interpretation, we don't tell the person that spoke in tongues, well, shame on you. Why did you get up and be bold and let God move through you? See, the real problem is someone else may have the interpretation and be too afraid to give it. So what do we do in that event? Well, at that point, if there's no interpreter, then it says, well, then he should sit down and be quiet and speak to God and speak to himself. In other words, pray in tongues, right? Just allow the Lord to move in and through you. There is no shame in being bold in these spiritual gifts. And if you get something a little bit wrong in this house, we love you. Amen. We'll help you. You know, I've missed it in these things. And if you're bold enough to try, you'll probably maybe get it a little bit wrong here or there too. You know, sometimes when we get a word from the Lord, we'll give a prophecy out, and it's not quite right. It's partially right, but not quite right, because it gets affected by our human understanding. And so it can be kind of online, but that last part I wasn't so sure about. Or sometimes you'll hear someone give a tongue and an interpretation, and you can tell when the interpretation has stopped and now they're just going on talking. So be sensitive to that on the inside and allow God to move through you. Don't be afraid. This is a place where we're rooting for each other. Okay, verse 29. Two or three prophets should speak and the others should evaluate. But if something has been revealed to another person sitting there, the first prophet should be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophets' spirits are under the control of the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. All right, we need to close. We're already over time. Let's go down to verse 39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. So should we be eager to prophesy? Yes, it's an order. It's a command. In fact, if you just back up two verses, he says that, you know, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, he should recognize what I'm writing to you is God's command. And then here in verse 39, he says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in other tongues. So is speaking in tongues to the people, is that gift still here today? Yes, absolutely. Some people will say, well, no, it passed away. You know, up in 2 Corinthians 12, in verses 27 through 30, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has placed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles and gifts of healings, helping, governments, various kinds of tongues. And then he starts asking the question, are all apostles? Well, the obvious answer is no. Are all prophets? Again, the obvious answer is no. Are all teachers? What? No. Do all do miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. He's not talking about praying in tongues. He's talking about speaking to the people in tongues. Why would he say, do not all do it? Because earlier in the chapter, he said each one that the Holy Spirit will move through them as he wills. So not everyone got up and gave a word in tongues this morning. But as the Spirit wills, one or two or three will get up and give a tongue and an interpretation. So we know that teachers haven't passed away. We still have teachers among us, right? We don't say, well, teachers aren't for us today just because the obvious answer is that no, not everyone's a teacher. Well, that's what I'm doing right now is I'm teaching the Word of God to you. So obviously, teachers have not passed away any more than tongues have passed away or apostles or these other things, miracles, prophets, on and on. Go down into chapter 13, the love chapter. Some people will use this argument to say why tongues is not for today. They will say in verse 8 of 13, love never fails, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Well, we clearly have scripture that those things will end. That matter is settled. The word says so. So let's see what he says next. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. See, that's sometimes why we go, oh, that prophecy, something wasn't quite there on it. Because it's in part. It's not complete. It's not whole. It's in part. It says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. Well, what is this perfect he's talking about? Some people say, well, it's talking about the Word of God. Once we finally got the completed Word of God all put together, Old Testament, New Testament together, that was the perfect. No, it's not. Let's keep reading. What does he say? He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then, when's the then he's talking about? When the perfect comes, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. He's talking about when you're face to face with the Lord Jesus, your master. That's when the perfect has now come. That's when prophecy will now cease. That's when tongues will now cease. That's when knowledge, words of knowledge, will now cease. Because you will now fully know as you are known. There's now no more, nothing more to know. So knowledge will cease. Prophecy will cease. Tongues will cease. But we have not reached that time of perfect yet, when we're face to face. So until then, We're going to do like Paul says in chapter 14, verse 5. He says, I wish all of you spoke in other tongues, and even more that you prophesied. So that's all of you. So we want to be very, very clear here at Church of the Word. Now that's exactly what we are. Church of the Word. And if the Word says it, then we're going to follow it. We're going to do it. We're going to obey it. And we are commanded to desire the spiritual gifts. We'll take more time. We'll go through each one of the gifts as the Lord wills. And as we have time, it may take us months to do it in between all the other guest speakers and everything we have. But hallelujah, we'll make it through. We want to learn and grow in these things. If you don't know about them, it's hard to desire them. Amen? All right. Why don't we... Who was it? Kathy, why don't you come lead a prayer? You had wanted to pray for me before I go. Thank you. I was going to ask somebody to pray for me before I go, and I didn't have to, so hallelujah.
Get her go.
Let me put this down. I'm so grateful for praying people.
Why don't we all extend our hands, Pastor Sid?
So she's in the nursery. Okay. Oh, de hisura malada de hisu boku boso. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the people. Mamba de hisu. Oh, de hila bakubo yisundola nondo de hisu. Ira hasu koto bola de insondale di era mahajo. E candole de ison katabasu.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for our pastor, Pastor Sid. I pray, Lord, that as he travels and goes over into the other countries, I pray that you give him safe traveling with that. Lord, I pray that this... I pray, Lord, that this will be a time that his heart is open in ways that has never been open, that he finds you in ways that he's never seen you before, that you use him, Lord, in ways that he's never seen, that when he comes back, that he is changed, and he has no doubt that regardless of what happens and what is going on and what he's doing, it's all you. It's all in what you were doing, Father. And what you were doing with him, what you're doing with his hand. Just fill this heart and his mind with your mind. Just
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Give him the strength to follow you. And no matter what the situation is, he could just turn to you and know you and know that you are in all control. It's all going to be miracles. He's going to see miracles that you've never seen before.
Oh, my dear. Thank you, Jesus.
That you touch people and you speak the word, and the word is just going to be powerful out of you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just lift up Sid to you right now. God, we pray protection over him. Put your angels in charge everywhere he steps. Everywhere he steps, Lord, his feet are blessed, because they're your words that speak through him, God. And we just thank you for all that he's going to do and accomplish in Odessa, ministering next week, Lord, and also as he goes into Turkey, Lord. We pray your protection, that no weapon formed against him is going to prosper, Lord, and that... He has no worries while he's there, because, Lord, your angels are around Jen and the children as well, God. And we just thank you for the godly couple that they are, God. and that you would bless them in all that they do and they say and how they share their hearts with the people, God. And Lord, Lord, where Sid goes, Lord, that you are with him, that you are with him all the way. You've never left him, nor will you forsake him. And would you just your protection. Thank you, Lord. That you meet every financial need that they have, Lord, and that you not worry, Lord, and that we call in shipments as well for his business, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Be not afraid, my child, for I am your God.
Yes.
Be bold and come and go with a position of strength. Speak boldly, because I am your God.
Yes.
You are not weak, but you are strong. And the words that proceed out of your mouth, I will use them to do great things on this trip. Come from a position of strength. You are not inferior. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that your strength and your boldness will come upon him greater than he's ever experienced, Father God. I thank you that the enemy that would try to come against him, Father God, would be quieted by your presence, Father God, in him. When he would enter into a church or a room or even at the destinations that you would call him, Father God, Lord, the enemy would flee in seven different ways in the name of Jesus, because your presence goes with him. Your presence is upon him, and he is to bring good news, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your good news go forth, Father God, with a position of strength and authority than greater than he's ever experienced, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we as your children love our pastor. And our hearts go with him. And we thank you, Lord, that your anointing is upon him, in him, and you will work through him. And also Brian Wills, may they be as one in you, Father, to do and fulfill all that you have for them. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Ghost that live in all of us.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can put things on our hearts to pray and intercede at just the right time. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that anointing is true, that anointing is strong, and we need to follow it. So I thank you, Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. You are there, you see the situation, and you can call your people to do and fulfill all that you want to do in and through your servants. And we give you praise and thanks, Lord. Angels round about them, wherever they go, whatever they do, and the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to rise up and to move through them in such a mighty way, in Jesus' name.
The Lord would say to you to be anxious for nothing, and the word is nothing. He sees your faith, and he is giving great grace. You have great grace and great favor everywhere your feet trod, everything you set your hands to. Your words will be weighty with his anointing. It will break bondages. It will break and remove yokes. Everywhere you go, he's going to honor your faith with great grace.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Sheila. Father, I thank you that you go with him, that you give your divine protection, that you fill his mouth at just the right time with the right words. See, Father, I thank you for divine appointments and connections. The right time and right people are met up with, Father, that he speaks into their lives, divine interventions, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you bless this trip from start to finish, Father. Bring him home safe to us.
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for Jen and the children. I just ask that you would meet every need according to your promise for them. Let your grace overwhelm her, cause things to go well and it to be easy. For it to be easy. That's our request. Yes, that's right. What we ask for, Lord. I thank you for your angels that protect them every step, everywhere they go. And Father, I lift up each one here. I lift up Church of the Word International to you, Lord, that during this time that there will just be an outpouring of your Spirit, of your grace, of your love, of your compassion in this place. Father, cause there to be revival while I'm away.
Yes.
Father, protect each one with your angels. Angels, you keep each one. Let every need be met in this house in Jesus' name. Father, that the body of Christ will rise up in a mighty way here in this place. I thank you for it.
The Lord says, go your ways. These paths that you're treading upon are well-worn paths of righteousness. The impact that you will make during your time and your season here will be in the short term wonderful and in the long term glorious. So go your way, go your ways, you and Brian. Enjoy the trip, enjoy your travel. Odessa and Ukraine will be wonderful, but especially with Turkey, it will go well with you both. You will seek the Lord and you will find him there, your plan and your place. For him, for the Lord's sake, there. And you will be, and Brian will be his messengers there.
You know, I just got a picture in my mind. John gave a testimony one time when he was down. Was it Belize? No. You and Damon. And he's walking through the crowd with his guitar.
Brazil.
And he's walking through the crowd with his guitar, and he accidentally hit somebody, and then they started jumping up in his face, and all of a sudden they backed down because Damon was there looking over his shoulder. You're going to see the same type of thing happen, except what's going to happen is the power that is around you is going to cause those people to back down. Go with boldness in what you're doing. Follow the Lord and be safe and follow the Lord, but go with boldness. Don't fear because he is with you in every step that you're doing.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So we could preach a message on prophecy, or we could just prophesy. It's so good to be back at home with you.
Great to have you.
Yes, it's. I was thinking about how much the body of Christ needs one another. And, you know, the Lord puts different things in different people's hearts, but we need each other. I need you in my life. And because the Lord put me here, I can confidently say you need me in your life. But I'll let you figure that out. But I do know that, you know, Kevin, Steve, Karen, you know, I need you guys in my life. And let's not take each other for granted. Life can be really short. Sometimes we look around us and we see people that are much too young to be dying and going to be with Jesus. And you remember that, you know, cherish those that God has put alongside of you. And thank Him for the life He's given you. Hallelujah. Let's take the tithe and offering. So if you need an envelope, just wave at one of our ushers. They'll bring an envelope to you. And you can make out your checks, as always, to CWI. And I want to read to you out of Matthew real quickly. Matthew chapter 6. My Bible has titled it, calls it The Cure for Anxiety. The Cure for Anxiety. It says this. Jesus is speaking in verse 25, Matthew 6. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry or take no thought, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first, someone say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So here's our answer to all your financial problems. Seek first the kingdom of God. Be God-minded. Have God on the brain. His righteousness on the brain. Be aware of His righteousness in and on you. Stop being so aware of your shortcomings and failures. Put away the hammers. Quit beating yourself up. Accept the blood of Jesus, that it washes you clean, has washed you clean, and be aware of His righteousness. Then it gives the last part. It says, and all these things will be provided or added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. True enough. True that. But seek first the kingdom of God. I want to point out, it doesn't say second, third, and fourth. It says seek first. There is a second, there is a third, there is a fourth. It doesn't mean that you got to constantly walk around with your hands in the air and screaming in tongues with your eyes rolled back in your head like a crazy person, right? But it does mean that you, God's things, the things that matter to Him, take number one place and priority in your life. Every other decision you make in life is centered and hinged upon that one. How does this affect the kingdom? How does this affect my role in the kingdom? How does this bring about the righteousness of God? And if it's not bringing about righteousness, then we ought to just walk away from it. His righteousness. See, we can't separate the two. That, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else is going to spawn out of that. Sure, you're going to have a job. Sure, you might go play sports. Sure, you might, you know, do all kinds of things. But it ought to hinge on this decision here, this main focus. Seek first the kingdom, and then all these things will be added unto you, the things that you need. Another thing I'll add in that is ask Him. Ask the Lord for what you need. Don't just assume that, well, he knows. Well, he does know. It says so. But the Lord also says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. So be specific. You know, just this week, you know, in the last 2 months, we've had a lot of unexpected things and expenses come up in our home. And so Jen and I were sitting, I believe it was on Tuesday. Tuesday. And we were sitting there and saying, all right, we need to lift some of these things up to the Lord in prayer. And so we prayed and we just recognized that the Lord is our provider. And we said, Lord, you know, we look to you as our source. We know these bills are here, so give us wisdom on how to handle them, how to walk through them, how to pay them, what we should do, what's our part. But most of all, we know that all good things come from you and that you've promised to meet all our needs. So we're going to cast aside our worry, put aside all our care on this matter, and rest in confidence that it's taken care of. And you'll show us what we need to do as we need to do it. So we prayed that. And now I'll give you a little more backstory on, I have a side business some of you know about, and I ship or deliver puppies all over the United States for a lot of the Amish breeders around here. They need someone to pick the puppy up and take it to the airport. So we do that as a side business. And this summer has been because of some ongoing circumstances with one of the people that were advertising for me. This summer, we've not advertised there anymore. And so this summer's been extremely slow. And, I mean, our business went from, you know, down, dropped 25% of what we were doing, which impacts our finances. So as we prayed, you know, this is one way, when I started that business, the reason I did is because the Lord said, someone gave me the opportunity, and I said, well, I'll pray about it. And 3 days later, as I was praying about other things, the Lord said, this puppy thing, pursue it, it's of me. So, okay, so I went and started it and talked to the guy, said I'll do it, all these things, you know. And God has really used that as a way of helping meet our needs. Well, this summer, it's not been doing much need meeting. And so we sat there in the office as we prayed that prayer and we got done and I said, you know, that is one stream that the Lord can move through. He's the one who told us to do it. He's the one that he can bring in calls. He can have people, you know, sales come in. And so we prayed and we were specific in how we prayed. And we said, Lord, we'd like to have an additional of this much a month and laid it before the Lord. And this was Tuesday afternoon. Well, there are some shipments that you do okay on. And then there's others because of the way they're structured and the flights are structured, you do really well on. We'd been shipping about one puppy every 3 weeks, is how slow we were. By the end of the day, Wednesday, we had three puppies come in, all of them being those shipments that you do really well on. I mean, it's nothing short of a miracle. And so, I say all of that to say, put your pressure on the Lord. Come to Him with your needs, seek Him first, His righteousness, be about His work, and cast your care aside and say, Lord, we rely on you. So let's put our faith to that. Take a hold of your tithe or your offering and let's pray. I guess I didn't finish all the story. We had three come in. And see, if they come in afternoon on Wednesday, why, we get to charge a premium because it's an expedite service. And so they were like... Some of them came in after the noon hour to where we got to charge the premium. And then we even have one for early next week. So we actually had four come in the space of our prayer till, I guess, Friday evening is when they had all come in, which is like one of the better weeks. So God is a God of more than enough. He's a God that will answer your prayer. He cares about your finances. If he did not care about his finances, Jesus would not have said things like, look, here's how to deal with these issues. Seek this first and these things will be added to you. He wouldn't have said things like, if you have need, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it will be given to you. But these things are promises that we stand upon. So let's do that right now with our words as we pray. Father, we believe your word and what Jesus said about asking and receiving, and that if we seek first the kingdom and your righteousness, that all our needs will be met, that these things will be added to us, what we eat and what we wear, and on and on, all these needs. Lord, we call our needs met in the name of Jesus according to your word. And we determine that we are separated and sanctified for your service, for your work, first, before everything else. That your desires are first, that your kingdom, that your righteousness, that what you have given us to do is first, above and beyond everything else that we've got going on in life. And I thank you for doing according to your word, and that there is increase and blessing in the people's lives here, in the name of Jesus, and amen. Well, the ushers can wait on the people. When a mother and father give themselves completely to the Lord and everything they have and are, all their resources committed to the Lord's service, part of that includes our children. So before we release the children to children's ministry, we want you all to be together here with us. We have Austin and Kathy have two little ones they want to dedicate to the Lord. And so we want to do that with them. So if you guys could come. Anna and Lucas. Hallelujah. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. And he meant it, every word of it. He doesn't hold off the little ones saying, well, they're not ready yet for all God has for them. He wants to move. Children, are you listening? God wants to move in you and through you. You're important, and we adults, we need you. We need you. These little ones here are so precious. Gifts from God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask Austin and Kathy several questions you can answer, we do. And then I'll ask you as a congregation here a question that you can answer, we do. So Austin and Kathy, do you desire that your children, these two, will grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord? And do you promise to provide for Anna and Lucas a Christian home where God is honored and His Word is taught? Do you pledge yourselves to live in such a way that your words and actions will commend Jesus and His church to Anna and Lucas? Do you promise that you will be for a spiritual guide for Anna and Lucas, praying and watching for the day when he and she will be ready to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior? All right, congregation. Do you, the people of God in this church, covenant with these parents to provide a loving church home for Anna and Lucas? Do you promise to continue teaching the Bible in this church, so that Anna and Lucas will never lack hearing the truth of God's word? We do. Amen. All right, stretch out your hands to them and let's pray over them. We'll start with Anna. Father, thank you so much. Karen, come join me. Father, thank you so much for Anna. Thank you for the precious gift of life that you've given her. Father, we call upon you to continue to stir in her the gifts and things you've placed inside of her already as a child. Father, those things that you want to bring out of her as she matures into an adult, cause them to flourish in her. Give Austin and Kathy faith as they raise her, faith and eyes to see and vision to see what you have for her so that they can properly prepare her for it. Thank you that you've given angels guard over Anna to protect her all the days of her life. I thank you for this. Father, thank you for Lucas. Thank you for vision, that he'll see it, even as a young age, that he'll see what you have for him. Father, I just ask you to, the people in his future, that you would have him walk alongside and with, prepare them even now. They may or may not be born. We don't know, Lord, but prepare them so that when that time comes supernaturally, they're brought together and walk out what you have for them. Father, your angels that you've given to him, we say angels, do your job. according to Psalms 91, protect them. Protect both of these little ones every day of their life. Satan, you and your plans for them, we cancel them by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for divine wisdom in raising Lucas, for Austin and Kathy. Thank you for divine wisdom for them, for as they love and raise and nurture and train each child individually according to their needs. In Jesus' name, we call you anointed and bless both of you. And amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. I was just like, I think I'm forgetting something. I was. Well, I need to sign these two, so I will sign the certificates and get them to you after the service. But we do have a gift for both of them. I think the colors are self-explanatory. We are gender-specific in this church. Hallelujah. You may be seated.